Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Trish,
yes,
you are looking a bit peaky, or as my teenagers say, you do be looking a bit peaky.
I do. I'd be feeling it too. I've been on the lady petrol. I've been on the rosé, not this morning, last night. Not axe in the back of the head bad, but
no.
Just a bit queasy, you know, that feeling. It's not the full on.
Not that your mouth is like the bottom of a birdcage, not quite that far.
Not quite that bad, but just slightly feeling it today.
Is it making you hotter than normal?
I am, yes, definitely. Feeling
what
a bit
time
flush.
Did you go to bed?
Oh, it wasn't late. It was about 12, but yes.
Your own bed?
Yes.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to Postcards from Midlife.
I'm Trish Halpin.
And I'm Lorraine Candy. And we're on a mission to tackle all the big and small issues that affect women at this stage of our life, from insomnia to mind and body wellness, HRT to sex drive, careers and relationships, and as always, the challenges and joys of parenting teens.
Today, we're going to be chatting about a host of exciting things, from falling in love with a woman in your 40s to midlife adoption and even looking at penises for your job.
Oh, Trish, what are you fantasizing about now?
It's not fantasizing, because we have the fabulous TV presenter Anna Richardson on today's show, who is incredibly smart and incredibly interesting and has some great midlife experiences to share with us.
Good, I'm really looking forward to talking to her. And later on, Trish is also going to be telling you about her balls, her protein balls, that she's been trying and testing, and we'll be taking our usual wander down memory lane to rustle up some funny little nostalgia noodles.
And we've been having such a lot of fun too with our Facebook group, and it's so great to see our midlife community growing on there. So please do join us if you fancy. And we've just had so many lovely comments, so we thought we'd read out. This is from Fran, who says, "So happy the podcast is back. I'm a mum of four, aged 17, 15, 13 and 11, three girls and a boy. Currently they are in a very different time zone, but in my own fab news, I started HRT this week because of your amazing Series 1 podcast. So thank you, Lorraine and Trish."
Oh, that's brilliant. She's going to feel so much better. She's going to find her midlife power.
Now, Lorraine, I wanted to check in and see how you're doing, because things have changed quite significantly for you this summer, haven't they?
Yes, I've entered kind of what I guess is the next stage of my career. So I've stepped out of editing magazines after more than 35 years as a journalist, editing Cosmo, so Elle for 12 years. And recently I've been editing the Sunday Times Style, but I've decided to step out and focus on writing my book.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've now actually got to write, which is a book about parenting teenage girls. It's really a memoir. It's a love story to my teenage girls,
oh,
a parenting
lovely.
Memoir. So I'm going to write the book, concentrate on the podcast, and actually on my family as well. And it's quite exciting, but it's a bit terrifying at the same time. I mean, I think...
Well, I've been through it, as you know, and you do come out the other side. It's like, I think the thing is, I think I actually posted a quote on the old Facebook group that was, somebody wise and remarkable said about endings and beginnings and how you need to look back and feel really valid about what you've achieved, but acknowledge that it's an end. And then with every ending, there's a new beginning, isn't there? And it sounds like you've got so much. I mean, I always did think you were so busy all the time. So I think it's going to be great for you.
It feels a bit kind of odd not being attached to something or under the umbrella of something.
Yeah.
But also I think at this stage in life, it is good not to have that, to really just rely on yourself rather than be working for someone else all of the time. I just think this is the moment to work for me, really, and make it work for me.
Yeah, it's your second act. You're ready. You're ready.
I'm ready, yeah. I'm going to win an Olympic medal as well. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that at all. Don't be stupid. Can't do trampolining anymore. I've got no pelvic floor.
Thank you. Now it's time to welcome this week's special guest, Anna Richardson. Anna is an award-winning producer, TV presenter, and mental health advocate who has fronted shows including You Are What You Eat, Super Size vs. Super Skinny, Naked Attraction, and most recently, The Fantastical Factory of Curious Craft. And as if that wasn't impressive enough, Anna is also a qualified cognitive hypnotherapist and co-founder of Mindbox, a 24-hour online therapy center to help people struggling with stress and anxiety. And she is also one half of TV Power Couple with her partner, Sue Perkins. Hi, Anna. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, girls. It's lovely to see you.
Well, we are so pleased to have you because we really see you as someone flying the flag for midlife women like us and rewriting that tired old narrative that the world seems to have of our women our age, but I'm doing it with very fabulous hair as well. So can we just start by talking about the fact that you are just about to turn 50? Mm. How is that feeling for you?
Do you know, I must confess I'm struggling. I am struggling. So a few months ago, Sue turned 50 and she was really having a bad time with the whole thing. And I was a bit like, oh, get over it. You're going to be absolutely, what, you know, what's wrong with turning 50? So deal with it. Now that I'm on that approach road, I must confess that I'm finding it hard. Mm-hmm. I've got so many massive questions about what have I achieved in my life? What else do I want to achieve? Where have I gone wrong? Struggling with menopause, why didn't I have children, what else do I want to do in my career, how am I going to make my dreams come true, why haven't I got the perfect life, all of that kind of thing.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because I would say from the outside looking in to you, people would think tick, tick, tick for a lot of that. You know, you've got an amazing relationship, you're super successful, you've done the most amazing work with your mental health sort of advocacy yeah. and campaigning. So it's funny, isn't it? It's that kind of outside in thing, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting that mm-hmm. that you're right. If you think about your own life, it's not how other people perceive it. I mean, do you guys feel the same way? Because I could turn those tables and say it's exactly the same for you two. Super successful lives. But do you feel that?
I think it's menopause, isn't it? I think it's the perimenopause heading towards 50 that just throws this huge curveball around everything because your emotions are all over the place, your hormones are all over the place. I mean, I've been through it. Lorraine's been through it as well. We're both on HRT, but where do you think you are in that journey?
So I've been perimenopausal, I'd say, for about the last 5 years. I have seen literally every single specialist that's out there, apart from Dr. Louise Newson, actually, who I must go and see. Yes. But I've seen everybody. I've tried everything. I have been on the estrogen patches. I've been on the estrogen gel. I have been on the eutrogestin progesterone. I've been on DHEA. I've been on testosterone. So I've had the whole sort of symphony of HRT. And I'm not sure that it made me feel any better. So I'm currently not on anything. However, I recognize that I'm starting to feel possibly a bit worse. So my hair's getting a bit thinner. My skin is definitely more dull. I'm definitely getting more wrinkly. I'm definitely getting the sort of unitum thing where you become sort of built like a brick. So I just wonder whether I've just not found the right little cocktail yet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody was asking me the other day, because I've only been on it for about 5 months, and I was trying to describe that I just feel lighter somehow, that life just feels more, you know, vivid and alive. I think everybody has a unique sort of reaction to it and an experience of it, but that's been my, and that's worked for me. That's been a really nice feeling for me because I didn't feel like that before. So
did you find that your boobs exploded and that you sort of went up a dress size?
No, I didn't actually. No, I didn't have that. So Lorraine, what about you? What did you,
yeah,
you
I think? Well, I did see Dr. Louise Newson, and it takes a while to get the right amount of everything and the right mix, because everybody's drop in estrogen is very different, and some women lose a lot of testosterone and some women don't. And within months I was able to, the one thing I wasn't taking when I saw her was testosterone, and within months I was able to remember people's surnames again.
Oh wow.
Not get lost in the middle of a sentence thinking, what the hell, I don't know where I was going with that. But so yeah, I think it just takes a while to get to the right, everyone has such a different experience, don't they?
But Lorraine, did you get hairy?
Oh. No, I didn't get hairy.
I'm not very hairy.
Did you?
What,
yeah, where you were putting the testosterone?
I have put it everywhere. So I started off putting it on my, I hate to use this word, I'm sorry, yeah, girls, but on my minge.
Yes.
And I thought, let's just put it around there. I grew enormous pubic shorts within the space of about 6 weeks. But I thought, okay, you know, I can sort of handle that. But I went to go and speak to my doctor and said, look, I'm not sure that I want to keep waxing every sort of 30 seconds. So they suggested that I put it on my inner arm. I then grew a massive man's arm. So, yes.
Well, I'm not medically qualified.
Look, if
qualified,
I can remember
so I
names.
Can't really help.
No, but I would have thought if it's going to make hair grow somewhere, you don't want it somewhere like your arm.
No. Oh, I had sort of one big black hairy arm, and then the other one was normal. So I think I'm on a journey.
We hadn't heard the word perimenopause until 2 years ago. Did you know midlife was a thing, that everything would change? Because it was all a complete shock to me. Turning 50 was a shock. Being depressed was a shock. Needing to take hormones was a shock. And I felt like no one had told me about this. And the sisterhood had somehow let me down by not explaining this was coming towards me. Did you know it was coming towards you?
Put it this way, I should have known that it was coming. But I think you're right that we haven't talked about it enough, and we don't talk about it enough in families. And the reason I say that I should have known it was coming, my grandmother killed herself when she was our age. And my mother, when I was a teenager and she was this age, she was also very unstable. And I've always put that down to sort of, you know, mental health issues. But actually, my mother has said to me before that when her own mother took her own life, she was around 50, 52. And mum thinks that she was going through a very, very bad menopause.
Yeah.
And at the time, if you think about it, this would have been, what, the late 50s? There was no help for women then. So I just think my poor grandma must have been going through all the things that we've experienced to a greater or lesser degree. She must have been very, very depressed, very confused. Her husband had, my grandfather had left her for another woman. And I think she was desperate. As you've highlighted on the podcast, I think it's a national scandal that GPs don't have standardised training when it comes to the menopause, HRT, and also mental health. That is a national scandal, because too many of us have just been pushed aside, put on antidepressants, or told that, you know, you're unstable or that you're mad or whatever it happens to be. So, you know, I think that is a national disgrace.
Now, 40s can, midlife can often be a time when you sort of outgrow a relationship, or you feel that you want something more or something just different from your relationships. How surprised were you, having been, you know, a long-term partner with a man, to fall in love with another woman?
I've talked about this in the press before, that when I met Sue, we kind of knew each other around the circuit, the telly circuit, now it is. And I met her at a friend's party. And it was as if the planets aligned. It really felt as though I've known this person before. There is some kind of weird karmic connection. There was something so profoundly deep when I met her that I kind of knew that I had to change my life. And I think that's possibly something to do with, you know, women meeting women, that there's a knowingness with women, isn't there? That that you'll never really ever have with a guy. Even though I love my ex-partner to bits, we're still very, very good friends, and I consider him to be part of my family. I think there's something about connecting within a lesbian relationship which is profound in a way that you can't quite get with a chap, just because I think that, you know, there's such a gender difference.
And it's a big change. So a lot of women go through massive turmoil and change. So before you stepped out of your, what is a kind of a traditional relationship, what do you think you did well? What do you think you did bad? What can we learn from that? If you look back and think, if someone is, a woman is now thinking, I'm going to do this, what would your advice be? How would you help her?
It's really important, I think, in our midlife, that you sit down and you think, what have I achieved in my life? Where am I going? What do I still want to do? Am I happy? And if the answer is no, I'm feeling very unsure about this relationship or where I'm going or where we're going together, then I would always say, go and have either couples counselling or go and have your own personal therapy before you make the jump. And if you, off the back of that, still feel that you need to make a change, then now's the time to do it. It really is. I think there's something incredibly empowering about being in your 40s and 50s and saying, I want the second half of my life to be different. I don't want to do the same old humdrum thing. I want to make a change. You guys must have heard of the rocking chair exercise in South
America. No, don't.
It's a really, really good exercise for all of us to do, I think. So essentially it goes like this, that take some time out, take about 5 minutes to close your eyes and just imagine being really elderly, being in your 80s or your 90s, sitting in a rocking chair on your front porch on a beautiful balmy summer's day and looking out across a stunning vista. It could be your garden, you know, it could be the sea, whatever. And you're rocking away and you're reflecting on your life, and you need to make a note of what have my achievements been, who are the most important people in my life who have touched me, who are the people that I've touched in terms of having made a difference, what are my strengths, what difference have I made, what legacy am I going to leave, and did I fulfill my dreams? And I think that if at the end of that you go, I really wish that I had done A, B, or C, then now is the time to start making those inroads, to creating the life that you want.
That's really helpful, really powerful. Now, you found out in a rather unexpected way, didn't you, in your late 30s, that you weren't able to have children. How did you process? Do you want to tell us what happened? And also, how did you process that? And how are you still processing that maybe now?
I found that moment profoundly shocking and very, very difficult. So the story goes like this. I was doing a show, I think it was for the Sex Education show, actually, for Channel 4. And as part of that, the producer said, we're going to talk about fertility. Do you want to go for a fertility test? And at the time, I was sort of late 30s and I was really cocky. And I was like, yes, I'll be fine. I've got millions of eggs. This is going to be easy. And my producer at the time was a friend of mine, and she was pregnant. So off we went to go and get this fertility test. And I can remember very, very clearly that my friend went in first and she didn't come out for some time. So she went in to get my results and she didn't come out. And then eventually the doctor just turned up and said, can I have a quick word with you? And I went inside. She said, listen, none of us was really expecting this. You've had your bloods done. You've got the crew here. We all thought everything was going to be fine. I have to tell you that you are infertile. You have nothing left. There's no eggs left. There's just nothing there. At the time, because my very heavily pregnant friend was there who was producing the show, I remember looking at her and thinking, how's this happened? That you're about to have your baby and I can't have mine. And it was all, you know, in front of a crew, and it was very, very
upsetting. And it had been something you just assumed would happen in your life at some point, that you would just have children and that would be,
Mm-hmm. I think, to be truthful, I've always prevaricated because I had an ectopic pregnancy when I was 21 and I was very unwell with that. So that was emergency surgery and all the rest of it. So I think that that's possibly why I've delayed having kids, because I was so shocked by having an ectopic. But then to hit your mid-30s and to be told, game over.
It's too late. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm. How does it weigh on your mind now?
Very heavily. But I've suddenly realised that, I've forgot to have kids. And I think I just thought that, you know, sort of Peter Pan wise, I was always going to stay young and I was going to somehow be able to do it. So I kind of regret not having frozen my eggs. I regret not having perhaps, you know, taken more notice of it. So yeah, 49, 50, I'm very seriously thinking about adopting or fostering, very seriously.
And are you down the road with the adoption process, or is it something you're just kind of tapping into at the moment?
I've just done a podcast, actually, which is going to be coming out because the government are pushing a big new campaign for people to consider fostering an adoption. Mm. So I've just done a podcast show around that where I've been interviewing other couples that have done the same thing. And off the back of that, I've started those discussions with the local council. But, you know, it's not easy to adopt.
Long journey.
Ultimately, it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah. Well, we wish you lots of luck with that. We really do.
Thank you.
Anna,
you've had such a phenomenal career as a journalist and presenter, haven't you? Because you've done so many different things, right the way from the dieting programs that you did through the sex programs and the mental health. And I wonder what you've learned throughout all of that. What have you learned about sex, for example, from, I think that's what people will most remember you for in the last, I think that's the last big one that you did. What are your thoughts that other women would benefit from knowing?
I have to say, I think that one of the things I'm most proud of probably is Naked Attraction right now. And I'll tell you for what, when it was first pitched to me, I can remember sitting there and thinking, you must be out of your effing minds to want to do this show. I know that, you know, this is just an excuse to put willies and boobs on TV and just to get ratings. And for that reason, I'm out. So I was able to kind of sit with the team and intrinsically, sort of forensically look at what is this show actually trying to say. And once we got down to the nub of the fact that this is a celebration, we are looking at trans, we're looking at gay, we're looking at straight, we're looking at older, we're looking at younger, we're looking at non-binary. If you look at Naked Attraction, even though it's funny and people watch it and we kind of laugh along and we play along with who's going to get together with who, nowhere else on British television are you going to see naked trans people. I mean, that's a privilege to be shown that, in my opinion. Naked trans people saying, this is what I look like. I deserve love and I deserve a relationship as much as anybody else. So I think in terms of a positive message and women listening, what I've taken out of that show and what I've learned about sex is to accept your body and accept who you are without judgment.
So tell me about being a therapist. You're a cognitive hypnotherapist, aren't you? What does that mean? What does a cognitive hypnotherapist do and how has it helped you?
Well, first of all, cognitive hypnotherapy is a combination of hypnotherapy and also CBT. So we are using all of the cognitive disciplines and combining it with hypnotherapy, as opposed to just saying we just use hypnosis. So we're multidisciplinary. But the reason that I decided to train was seeing the huge difference that made when I lost a ton of weight, but also because a couple of years ago my mother had a breakdown. She came off some antidepressants that she'd been on for years and years and years, and she couldn't get any help. So for me, training as a cog hipper, as we call ourselves, was to try and effect a difference in my life. But also off the back of training, I've set up my own mental health business called Mindbox.
It sounds fascinating. Tell us about Mindbox, because there is very little resource for people who, when people say, oh, get a therapist or see a therapist, you're kind of, it's very hit and miss who you get, how trained they are, where you find them. And I know certainly outside of London, if you said to my sister who lives in Cornwall, find a therapist, it's not something that's in the natural, normal run of things. So talk about Mindbox.
So first of all, it's changing. So being able to find a therapist is changing. And, you know, we're doing our podcast over Zoom. So now that we've had lockdown as well, people are using technology to connect much more efficiently. And that's the same with therapy. So I launched Mindbox a couple of years ago, and it is a 24-hour online therapy resource centre where we can connect you with the therapist, but also we've recorded five different programs, effectively, self-guided programs, therapy programs that you can do from home. So the point is that we wanted to make therapy and help affordable, accessible, and available to everybody.
How do you feel about antidepressants? Because this comes up quite a lot in any conversation around midlife, because it's a default GP prescription. I don't know what's the matter with you. Mm. Would antidepressants help? I cannot stop counting the number of women that have said to me, I've just been offered antidepressants and I don't want to take them. They are, I presume, for some people will work amazingly well and absolutely necessary. Just talk around your thoughts around that in midlife with reference to women. What should women ask when they're offered that?
Back to what we touched on earlier on, it is a massive problem, the fact that GPs don't have standardised training around dealing with women at our age who may be presenting with menopausal symptoms, including mental health issues. So I would have thought, and I think it's something to campaign on actually, that in the first instance, we should be offered hormone therapy without question. However, I do believe that as an adjunct, antidepressants are also really important. I've been on them on and off throughout my life, and they have, I would say, probably saved my life on a couple of occasions. I won't poo-poo them, because I think that for a lot of people, they're a lifesaver, and myself included.
I think that's been amazing. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you, because I mentioned it yesterday as well, because look at little Trish, she's got a terrible hangover. Look at little Trish.
I'm a bit flushed. I'm a bit flushed.
She's been guzzling the rose.
Good girl.
That's what I said. Yay. Someone's got to be out there on the front line for us.
Yes.
I'm always fascinated by this. You stopped drinking during lockdown. Tell me how that made you feel. And I know you're back on the old booze now.
The sauce. But,
the sauce. Yeah, what was that, an interesting experiment? I think people are fascinated by that.
I kind of decided that I was going to try and get healthy during that sort of 10-week lockdown. So I gave up booze. Mm-hmm. And I've got to be honest, girls, because, you know, I do like a tipple. I did feel better.
Definitely. It is. Unfortunately, it's the truth, isn't it? But did you have as much fun?
No, God, no. No. The minute lockdown was over, I was out there, you know, with my pals, just quaffing shoppers. I'm thoroughly enjoying falling off the wagon.
Oh, it's the way it should be. Oh, thank you so much.
You've been
Anna.
Brilliant, Anna.
That has been amazing.
Thank you very much indeed for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to appear on this series, and I'm very, very grateful.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, Lorraine and I have both hit a few milestones with our teenagers this year, which have been both celebratory, but also slightly tinged with sadness, not just because of the impact of the coronavirus crisis putting a damp squib on everything, but also because it means our babies are growing up and moving on with their lives. So we've had some big birthdays, haven't we, Lorraine?
Yes, so this year, Trish, in a very sad way, because in my head, my children are still in their Moses baskets and I'm still pushing them around in their pram. We've had a 16th birthday and we're about to do an 18th birthday. We've had A-levels and GCSEs, well, a version of. We've got a driving test coming up. And we've been married 20 years this year as well, in October.
Oh my goodness,
so it's a whole year of milestones. It feels quite dramatic. You've had 16th, haven't you?
We've had 16th, but I think the big one for us is them leaving. They're leaving their secondary schools to go to sixth form colleges. And it was quite funny because I had to drive them to the school a couple of weeks ago to bring back their books. And I was all like, oh, gosh, you know, isn't it sad and, oh, how do you feel? And they're all like, Mum, it's fine. It's over. We're moving on. And I think what's interesting about them is that they, you know, I was talking to Esme about it and she was saying, Mum, we just live in the moment and we think about the future. We don't really look back. And I think we look back a lot, don't we? And I did sort of realise, while I was feeling sad about, you know, this being the last time I would go to their secondary schools, I mean, I walk past their primary school several times a week and I always get a little moment at that as well. And that was ages ago. But
we live opposite the infant school.
Oh, gosh, you see it every day, the little ones. And I know, think about your ones at that age.
Their little voices, their little playing in the playground. And it's just so reminiscent, yeah. And it's still so much part of the fabric of our memories. Our eldest, who will be 18, will leave home. So this will be. So this year we took her to see various universities. So that was quite a milestone. We're obviously going to be taking her shopping to get her first bits and bobs for her room. It just feels completely unbelievable, as if it should never happen and was never going to happen. And I think in midlife, you start to think much more about how much time you have left rather than how much time, you know, it doesn't feel endless anymore. It feels really important that every day something happens every day that's important and that you're marking each day and it's one less day. I mean, without getting too melancholy. I mean, it is quite exciting as well. I mean, I just kind of sense so much hope and joy and wonderfulness.
I think you should give yourself a little pat on the back. I think every milestone they achieve, you should just
We did achieve another milestone this week, which was really exciting for us. One of them, I think it was one of the teenagers, changed the toilet roll. Actually did it themselves. took the roll off, didn't just throw it on the floor in a pile.
Oh my God.
In the bin and put a new... Oh, I feel that's my greatest parenting achievement.
That deserves champagne and fireworks, I would say.
I want a Victoria Cross, something like that for it, quite frankly. So I did talk to... a family therapist about milestones, because I wrote about it in my parenting column, just thinking, oh, we make up milestones. It's just what parents say. It's just kind of part of the narrative. It's a bit of a cliche. It's not. It's actually, from a psychological point of view, milestones are massively, massively important. So her explanation was, so between the age of 15 and 25, when our brain is going through massive change and isn't really adult until about 25, you have to make significant memories to drop markers in for them to look back on, because it's really good for their mental health to look back and think, this was achieved, that was achieved. So to remember those things, you mark them as milestones. So that's why you have big parties. Nice. That's why you have all the cards, and you have to have those moments really significantly marked by events.
So how are you going to be celebrating Skye's 18th then, Lorraine?
Well, we're in a bit of a quandary, aren't we? Because we can't have a massive party. There is an app called the Cameo app where you can get a celebrity to wish them happy birthday.
Yes, I've heard about that.
I'm trying to think what level, how far up we can go.
I assume it's like a £50 level for your boy band scenario.
Don't like boy bands, do they? And I don't know any of the names. Do you remember your 18th?
Well, I do. It wasn't great. I wasn't a party person, would never have wanted a party in a million years. And
odd, isn't it? Because you're quite one now.
I do. Yeah, I love a party now. I'm quite good at throwing a party and having
life and soul, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's a later in life thing. I don't think I had a party until I was about 30. Didn't want to be the centre of attention, that kind of thing. And I remember taking took the day I bunked off college and went into town to see, there was apparently going to be a secret gig of Lloyd Cole and the Commotions playing at the London School of Economics. And so off I went.
Oh my God, that's
with my friend.
So emo.
Isn't it? And I sat there and waited and it didn't happen. And then I had to come back for a sort of family birthday dinner. So it was a total waste of time. So I still remember it though. Hey, it's a milestone I remember. What about your 18th?
Well, obviously I left home at 16, I was living in London at that point in a flat share in Streatham, which I loved. I loved it, with a load of New Zealand girls. And I feel like we went to Heaven. Do you remember the nightclub Heaven?
I do, yes.
We had quite a large community of gay friends because we live quite near Brixton as well. So I think we either went to the Fridge. Actually, it might have been the Fridge we went to. Yeah, we either went to the Fridge or Heaven. We stayed up all night anyway.
I don't remember what I wore. Usually I remember what I wear on these, because it's how much I love fashion on these significant moments. But yeah, it was just some kind of arms in the air situation, I feel.
Nice. Arms in the air, we don't care.
Yeah. Right, Trish, it's tried and tested time now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me about your balls?
Yes.
As they say, explain me.
Explain you. Protein balls, of course, which I've been trying and testing. I decided it was time to rethink my snacking and get a bit more healthy with it.
I know why, you little...
chocolate killer, chocolate.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought killing two birds with one stone might be the way forward. So I wanted to up my protein as being veggie. I'm not convinced I probably get enough, which is why I'm such a puny weakling. Obviously, there's loads of them you can buy. The two that I particularly liked were the Deliciously Ella and Bounce ones. And I think what's nice about those is they don't have any kind of hidden nasties like processed oils or preservatives or that kind of thing. Deliciously Ella herself, she actually tells you how to make them. So she shares the recipes. Oh. You can just make them at home. All you've got to do is whiz up some dates and almonds, a bit of coconut oil and some chia seeds. But you're supposed to have them milled. Otherwise, to quote you, they go right through you. And actually, right. you don't want them to go right through. You want them to be absorbed. So you want the milled kind of chia seeds.
When you say you whiz it all up, sorry, you're talking to like base. I have literally no idea what that means. So you're going to whiz it all up and then what you're going to do?
In a food processor. And then you just sort of mold them with your hand into whatever little ball size that you like. And then you pop in a box and shove them in the freezer for an hour. And that sort of stiffens them up. And then you just leave them in the fridge. And then you just have them. They last for ages. You just have them when you want them.
You know, Jane Clark said we could change one thing. We could do that.
Yes.
Getting a healthy
protein ball. Yeah. Now, what about you? What have you been up to?
Right. Well, this is a kind of long-term tried and testing situation, which has come to fruition, as it were, this week. Do you know about bruxism?
No. What's that?
Teeth grinding.
Oh, goodness. Right. Yes.
Yeah. That it's the technical term.
Quite gruesome. So,
1 in 10 of us grind our teeth, about 6.5 million people. Gives you headaches, makes your teeth sensitive. It's really common. No one knows really why you do it. It might be sort of misalignment of the jaw, of the teeth.
And wait, you're doing this at night?
So I'm a chronic tooth grinder. So and it gets worse in times of insomnia and stress. So before we went into lockdown, I went to my dentist, Dr. Eugenia Okoye, who's amazing at London Smiling. And she does 10 years younger on the telly. She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she always talks me into the chair because I'm completely phobic about dentist, and if I don't go straight into the chair, then I leave immediately. She said, look, it's getting really bad, your jaw's really tense and tight, all the muscles are really hard, and that's what's causing the headaches in the morning. And in midlife you get quite a lot of headaches, so it could be anything. So before that, she made me a mouth guard to wear at night. So I hadn't been using it at all, thinking intermittently, oh, this won't make any difference. I can't see how this is going to stop my headaches. But during the last 6 weeks, I've thought, well, now during lockdown, this is the one thing I'll change. I'll wear it every single night. And I have to say, it has made quite a big difference. Your whole jaw feels so much more relaxed. You do have to, well, the motto here is if you get one, and they are expensive, they're around £300 because you have them absolutely fitted to your jaw. And it's also, as you get older, your teeth get more fragile. So it is good to have something to stop them wearing down. But it has made quite a difference. So I think if one has gone to the dentist, had one done and been advised to have one, you should absolutely be doing it. Trish, talk me through your nostalgia noodling. Aww. Where have you been? Which part of history have you dipped your little tiny toes in?
It's been a two-centred noodle this week because it's about sports days. So I don't know why this came to mind. I had this sort of thought that, goodness, I'm not ever going to go to any more sports days until I'm probably a granny, hopefully, one day. So you do the, obviously you do the sports days that your kids, little kiddies, which is lovely. I quite like it. I mean, I don't know. But then there was the ones that you had to do yourself, which... Thinking back, I just remember I was actually quite sporty at school. But of course, sports day was really about athletics. And it was like the blooming Olympics at our school, because you literally had high jump, long jump, javelin throwing. Can you imagine being allowed these days
to
spiky old stick to throw about? And then lots of like 800 metres, 400 metres. And I was like, oh, I can't run. I'm too short to do high jump. So guess what I did? Guess what I put myself in for? Shot put.
Oh, for God's sake. I worry about your little wrist picking up a protein ball.
Well, this is the thing. I thought, well, clearly I'm going to be absolutely rubbish at this. And I'm just going to stand there and have. I won the shot.
Don't be ridiculous. How did you do that? What is it? It is in the stance, possibly.
It could be. My technique was very good. But the really great thing was, again, back in those days, you got proper medals, again, like the Olympics, with this lovely medal. And a couple of years I found it while rummaging around through a few old boxes in my dad's garage. And I found it. And of course, Neil is delighted with it. And he's put it up in the loo. Oh. He's got it hanging off.
Is he laughing with you or laughing at you?
All of it, just laughing at the idea of me.
Is it on your CV now?
I should do that, shouldn't I?
Shot put champion.
Yes, I like that.
Protein ball maker, dinner party thrower, rosé guzzler, shot put champion.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good. I think, are you going to amaze me with your noodle?
Well, I think I might make you laugh, because it certainly made me laugh. It was a good half an hour on the internet, this one. Ooh, so yeah. I was pottering about chatting to someone the other day, and the kids overheard me, and I used the phrase, in the best possible taste.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
do you remember who said the phrase, the best possible taste?
Kenny Everett.
It was Kenny Everett, which is a real 1990s. Yeah. Well, it's late 80s, actually, because he died in 1995. He was off that kind of Frankie Howard, Hattie Jakes.
It took me
back to all of that. But actually, he was quite progressive. The exuberance of him, if you watch it on YouTube, I don't know how he had the energy to do any of that kind of. He was sort of interwoven in the Capital Radio. He got fired by the BBC twice, shows. My favourite bit about young Kenny, poor Kenny, who was greatly missed when he died, who used to do dress up in women's clothing with his beards and fake breasts. It's like some bonkers Blackadder type situation. Anyway, his book about his life was called The Custard Stops at Hatfield.
Oh,
what a brilliant name for a book. I've got to think of a name for your book for when you go, Trish.
Something about protein balls and shot puts.
Yeah, that's the lasting memory of our postcards today. Thanks for listening to this rubbish, people.
I might throw one at you if you're not careful. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Postcards from Midlife. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed it, please tell your friends and all the midlife women you know. And remember to subscribe on your podcast provider and rate and review us too. And you can also listen to the podcast on the Times Radio app. So if you don't have that yet, go to your app store and download it.
We'd love you to share your midlife experiences with us on our new Facebook group. You can be anonymous or not, but we've got lots of great chat, advice and competitions, so do get involved. And you can also contact us via email on hello@postcardsfrommidlife.com or on our social media. Goodbye.
Goodbye.